Many years ago, in the war-torn streets of South Korea, a simple concept was forged through the relentless vision of one man. Enduring the hardships of extreme poverty, this man worked tirelessly day and night to actualize the idea that a person can improve their life and fortune through the discipline of martial arts. As he mastered techniques passed on to him, he and others inspired to join his vision began to develop new techniques into a groundbreaking style known as Songam Taekwondo. The man was Ang Ung Lee. Encouraged by Richard Reed, a young American with whom he had become close friends, H.U. Lee set out across the ocean. Upon arriving in the United States, he encountered more difficulties, such as language and cultural differences. But the philosophy of Songam Taekwondo is that any obstacle can be overcome as long as you continue to try. Songam Taekwondo transcended all barriers of language, ethnicity, gender, age, and physical ability. And as the technique continued to evolve, H.U. Lee knew that with these basic principles, nothing could keep him from sharing that vision with the world. The American Taekwondo Association was born. Over the years, the organization would thrive, changing the lives of over 1 million people across 6 continents.
H.U. Lee brings the World Championship of Taekwondo to Little Rock again this year.
The state's largest annual convention, 25,000 martial arts students in attendance.
The opening event is becoming so big they had to move it from the smaller Statehouse Convention Center to the largest indoor arena.
The biggest convention of the year is in town.
They're certainly getting their kicks this weekend at the 25th Annual American Taekwondo World Championship.
TTA has held its world tournament in Little Rock for the past 28 years, and each time it gets bigger and better.
재미교포 태권도 사범인 이행웅 씨가
오늘의 주인공 이행웅 회장이.
I thank you for joining us and saying good morning, America.
Someday I'll have as many medals as the Grandmaster has here.
Master H.U. Lee.
How do you do?
Thank you.
Each person was touched by H.U. Lee's vision that empowerment through discipline and confidence will make you more successful in life. After his passing in 2000, H.U. Lee was honored with the title of Eternal Grand Master. And in the summer of 2007, a monument and garden were erected for his strength of leadership in both the ATA and in the community. The torch of leadership has been passed on to Soon Ho Lee, who continues to uphold the valued traditions while guiding the ATA into the new millennium and future generations.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, sirs and ma'ams, black belts, colored belts, people who haven't started martial arts yet, you are all welcome here on the ATA Nation Podcast. This is episode number 29, and my name is Master Zach Hayden. I am your host, and it is Founders Month. As you may have noticed with our extended intro, we are celebrating the life of Eternal Grandmaster H.U. Lee. During the month of October, we celebrate the man who started the ATA, and we hope to bring you some information, some stories, just all kinds of things about Eternal Grandmaster. As so many out there in ATA Nation never had the opportunity to train with him. He passed away, and we've had so many schools grow and students come into the ATA who never had the opportunity to train with him, but their lives have all been changed because of what Eternal Grandmaster did. So We want to celebrate that this month. I've got a cool announcement at the end of the episode today, so make sure you stay tuned. Before we get to that exciting announcement, we are going to have an interview with Chief Master Lengren Lee. During Founders Month, many schools in the ATA take part in the Pink Belt Revolution. And this is an exciting fundraising opportunity for schools across the country to not just support the Wishing for Mommies organization and women fighting breast cancer, but it is also an opportunity to support the legacy of Eternal Grandmaster through the H.U. Lee Scholarship Foundation. So let's get to that interview.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us Chief Master Lengren Lee today to talk about a project that's very near and dear to her and takes place during Founders Month. How are you today, ma'am?
I am doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And you are the creator of the Wishing for Mommies program. Can you just give us first just an overview of what Wishing for Mommy, the foundation, is all about?
I can certainly do that. I'll kind of go back to the beginning. A lot of people think that I do this because I've had some, you know, people in my family get breast cancer or people in my academy. And actually, it didn't start for any of those reasons. It started 9 years ago with one of my kids, my students, and he asked if I could give him some white belts left over, the kind of the ones that end up in a box, the dirty ones that don't get used. And yes, he said he was going to dye them pink. And so I gave them to him. He dyed them pink for his mom, who was doing a 3-day race back when Susan G. Komen was really big and all of that stuff. And so from those pink belts, he ended up raising $485. So he said, well, ma'am, you know, next year, can we do it in all 12 of our academies? And I said, oh, sure. And then a year came by and it was like September 25th. And he calls me. He said, you said you'd do it in all 12 academies. You let me down. I was like, you know what? We can do this. So I called Century and I bought every pink belt they had in stock. And within 3 hours of receiving them, we sold everything.
Oh, wow.
And I was going, oh no, what have I done? And I called Century and I asked them, you know, how fast can you make more? And they committed with Mr. Wolf's assistance to nudge them how important this was to make me 5,000 belts in 3 days. And they worked 24 hours a day, round the clock, and they shipped me the belts. And then I put them in the back of my husband's truck. We drove to California because Arizona was all that we were going to do. But, you know, we ran out in 3 hours, we called Cali and we're like, hey, you guys want to do this? And they said yes. And we drove up the coast, my husband and I, through over for 24 hours straight, stopping in gas stations. Licensees would meet us, you know, just off the freeway and get their boxes. And it was just a huge hit.
That's awesome.
That started. Mm-hmm.
And now the Pink Belt Revolution has been going on for, like you said, nine years now. And it's tied in now with your organization, the Foundation Wishing for Mommy. Can you give us a little insight onto that? I know I've had someone around us get one of those grants, but I know there's a lot of people out there in ATA Nation that just aren't sure what that is.
Understandable there. And it does surprise me. Even some of my closest friends in the ATA called me this year. Now, can you tell me what that's all about? I don't know what I've never done it. So yeah, I think we really need to give the backstory on that too. So at that time in 2013, Senior Master Tai Kwan Lee was living in LA and Mike Chat wanted to get in on it too and really promote it with the whole extreme community. So I met that same day in the first, you know, month of September with Senior Master Lee. And, you know, we started brainstorming. He goes, I'm okay with you guys doing this and the ATA can support it, but it is Founders Month. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how much energy we want to put into this. And I said, well, I remember back, I don't know what year it was, but at the 4-H Center, I think I was a fourth or fifth degree at the time. And Eternal was still, you know, going to camp and he would go to camp and never leave camp. You know, yes, he was so dedicated. And I don't know if you were there that year, but we got there and it was opening ceremonies and he got up on the microphone and he kind of started to cry. And he said that Mrs. Sunseely was diagnosed with breast cancer and that she was in the hospital and that he was going to have to not be at camp that year. He had to be with his wife. And of course, you know, everybody stepped up and everybody was, you know, praying for her. And so breast cancer, you know, became a big foundation that they wanted to then support. And so it totally made sense to do the two things together. So now when the funds come in, it's about so we sell the belts for $20 and it's about a third of the cost, like $6.50 to run the program, whether it's from buying the belts, the marketing, the shipping is huge because we have to ship the belts out. And then what's not, you know, sold, it comes back and the inventory and all of that. So it's about $6.50 is the cost. And then we split the rest 50-50 between Women Fighting Breast Cancer and then the HU Lee Foundation College Scholarships, which,
yeah. That's fantastic. I love that. I know for us, at my school, when we first started doing this, we were like, oh, man, it's Founders Month. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, these two great funds that we like to support. And it was really rough originally to try to focus that. But then when the foundation and you guys kind of partnered together and everything was tied together, it really helped us, I know as school owners, be able to have a big event at the schools, be able to really push this and say, you know, see this tie between the breast cancer side of things and the HU Lee Scholarship Foundation, which it is great. So I think that's such an awesome tie-in together.
Yeah, I was really pleased. At first I was like, oh man, really? You know, I was thinking, I just want this to be for breast cancer. But when Senior Master Lee explained to me and I started thinking about the history of this, it made sense too. But about like 3 or 4 years into it, some of the licensees who didn't know the backstory became concerned and they were, you know, like, well, this is just a strange thing. It should only, some people thought it should only be breast cancer and some people thought we should not even be doing it because of the other one. So with a nonprofit, I don't own the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Nobody owns a nonprofit. It is a public entity that is, there's oversight by a founder or, you know, a secretary or whatever you want to, a member of the nonprofit. So I just oversee this. So I thought it was only, you know, I needed to do what was right. And so we put a survey out like 3 or 4 years into it to all of the licensees so that they could give us their feedback. And it came back like 78% said, absolutely, the right thing to do is to put them together. So that gave me peace of mind moving forward that we are doing it right.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I definitely think it's a great tie-in. And the wishing the breast cancer part of it isn't just going, it's not going to, you know, research or things like that. It's a really neat way to tie right into our local communities and stuff as well. Can you explain a little bit about the grant process there?
Yes, we want to make it absolutely as simple as possible. And so when we send the pink belts out, we also send a paper application. So they have that. But, you know, if you go to our website, which is wishingformommy.org, there is a digital version that you can go and fill it out. And sometimes we like that better because then you can make sure you fully get the phone numbers and emails and all the information that you need. So I encourage everybody to just go get the digital, you know, fill it out that way. But it is a one-page application. It's not complicated. But what it's supposed to be is that it's a woman who is either up to 2 years remission or currently fighting breast cancer. So that's a parameter that we put on it. They would fill out, you know, they do have to put, you know, what kind of breast cancer, or is it breast cancer? We've had people apply and it's for all kinds of different cancers. But, you know, with the nonprofit, when we filed for this, we specifically put breast cancer. So in the future, if we want to change that, we can. But for now, it's not. So they just fill out a one page thing. Usually the person filling it out is somebody connected to that person. The first year, we didn't realize that the hard part was going to be finding these women to fill out the application. Mm-hmm. Because when they're in the fight, they're just not in the mood to do anything like that.
Yes, ma'am.
And so the first year we ended up only getting, I want to say, like 20 applications that were connected to ATA people. And it doesn't have to be students or instructors or even the parents of students. It can be grandparents, aunts, uncles, somebody's best friend. I mean, it's just, we like the word of mouth chain to come organically from the ATA.
Yes, ma'am.
But if we have a shortage, which like that first year we did, we just go to Cancer Centers of America and get some people, you know, that they know are really financially needing right now. Mm. And then we put the grants out for them. But I'm hoping that we can, you know, keep in our network. We sadly, you know, when you hear of anybody getting any illness, we have Miss Penny Beto and Senior Master Palacio in the fight right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mrs. Beto-Wolf is in my region, great friend of ours. She's going to be at our camp this next weekend, and man, is she a warrior. And she's the first one I think about when I think about somebody to apply to, for us to apply a grant, to get a grant for her, because she's just that awesome and kicking butt at this fight. So, how many do you have an amount? How many grants have you guys you think you've given over the years?
So I have a couple of statistics. At least I have them in front of me based on from 2013 to 2019. Because in 2020 we weren't going to do this. We were just overwhelmed ourselves, like everybody was, in the pandemic. But we had some people that called, let's just say passionately, saying, how dare you not do this? You know, COVID doesn't stop people from getting breast cancer. And we need to raise some money. So we did send a few kits, not a lot. And of course, we don't have statistics for 2021 yet for that. But I can tell you from up to 2019, we had raised $132,000 for HU Lee and $132,000 for the breast cancer. So that equates to 66,000 women have received grants of $500.
Oh, that is fantastic. What an amazing accomplishment. And I would encourage instructors, licensees out there, that if you haven't participated in this before, to make sure you look into it. I know we're in October already, so it might be rough to get started this year. But if you're part of ATA Nation and you're maybe your school hasn't done this before, you could reach out to your licensee, your instructor, and say, hey, maybe you would like to be in charge of running this next year. I know for a lot of licensees, you know, the biggest thing is the time and effort to organize it. And I know we have so many great legacy students, leadership students out there that could take the charge for this.
I'm glad you said that, because this is the easiest fundraiser I have ever done, whether it's in ATA or at my church or anywhere. And you clearly can have a parent or a legacy student or somebody run it. Mm-hmm. Our last day to ship is October 10th. So they have from now 6 days to get an order in, and it's not too late.
Awesome.
You know, they might just, you know, they'll start wearing their belt sometime in October. And then as long the licensee can say, we're going to wear it for 2 weeks, or we'll wear it for, you know, 4 weeks into November. And that's fine too. We have 70 licensees that have already ordered kits. And this year is the highest year of within them receiving their kit. They sold out in just a couple days, and we've mailed more second order from a licensee kits that we've had in history.
Well, that's fantastic. Excellent. So it's not too late for people to get started. They go to wishingformommy.org. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. Well, super cool. I look forward to our school selling out our belts. Today's actually the first day we're going to be selling them. And I know they will go very quickly because people always love to support a great cause like this.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And then if anybody has any questions, they can on the website. The phone number is 480-831-1111. We're here to even talk them through it. We can enter their order in over the phone for them just to help. I don't want anything to hold people back because they're a little confused about it.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. Well, thank you very much, ma'am, for this great organization of Wishing for Mommies and helping the Scholarship Foundation moms out there. We really appreciate the work that you do.
Well, thank you, sir. And we appreciate you. What you're doing with the podcast and keeping people informed is outstanding. So thank you for doing that.
What a great organization and a fantastic fundraiser. I know my school has been taking part of this the last couple of years, and our students really enjoy being part of not just raising money for Wishing for Mommies, but the Scholarship Foundation as well. Great causes and a great way to support the legacy of Eternal Grandmaster. A lot of upcoming events. Most important is Fall Nationals, right around the corner. I actually, right before I was hitting the record button, I saw the ATA posted the links to an event they're hosting on Facebook that are the live broadcast of the two master ceremonies that are taking place at Fall Nationals. So you will definitely want to check those out if you are not attending Fall Nationals. But I told you I wanted to bring you a little bit of an announcement. We are going to do a contest this Founders Month. The ATA, some great high ranks in the ATA, put together these little books that are all about stories of Eternal Grandmasters, the way he changed their lives. He changed our lives. And we are going to give away a couple of copies of those. So if you head over to ATAMA.ninja/contest. You can get all the information about entering that contest there. So it's ATAMA.ninja/contest to enter that contest and try to win one of those books. We would be really excited to send one off to you if you are the winner. We will be continuing our Founders Month coverage with stories. If you have a story of Eternal Grandmaster, make sure you reach out to us. You can actually record that, ATAMA.ninja/founder. I believe is the link you can get that at. After Founders Month, we'll be back to wrapping up our Tournaments 101 series. We wanted to take a quick break from that to make sure that we are letting everyone celebrate with us our amazing founder. Until next time, guys, make sure you are out there taking action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.
Oh, man, I forgot to mention the insiders today. Oh, it's been a little bit of a crazy day today for us, but you awesome people who stick around to the very end, what do you think about that? The audio from that YouTube video that ATA put out years ago. Actually, it was from a World Championships, what we used at the before the intro in this episode. Man, every time I listen to it, it gives me chills. Just, you know, what an amazing man. I got the opportunity to train with him once or twice, but never the way that some of my seniors got to train with him. Listening to that clip and just seeing some of those things are super inspiring. Okay. Off to bed, ladies and gentlemen, because I am recording this late at night today. Got to do what I got to do to get the podcast out. See you later.